Support for WPR comes from Doulaying the Doula, offering birth and postpartum training and certification programs for medical professionals and other interested humans. More information about training is at doulaworkshop.com.
Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin DNR. Preventing food waste and composting scraps and uneaten veggies, grains, and fruit can help the environment. More dnr.wi.gov by searching food waste.
More Wisconsin residents blame congressional Republicans for the partial federal government shutdown than they blame congressional Democrats or President Obama. We are going to discuss these results from our Wisconsin survey with St. Norbert College during this half hour and what this might mean for the 2014 midterm elections. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, October the 24th. We continue talking with Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere, Associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute, and we continue to take your calls. Which side do you think is mostly to blame for the government shutdown and why? And moving forward, is this going to affect your vote at all in 2014? Would you vote for your congressional representative next year, or are you ready to throw him or her out? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Wendy Scattergood, thanks again for being with us, and thanks for all of your work on our Wisconsin survey from year to year. Let's talk about these results. We blame Republicans mostly. 4 out of 10 people say it's the Republicans' fault that the government shut down.
Right. 42% said that the Republicans in Congress are more to blame. 34% said it's the president and the Democrats. And then 23% actually volunteered that it was both equally, which is pretty much in line with what we're seeing nationally with the national polls there. And not surprisingly, there's a big partisan issue here. But what's interesting is that the Republicans were actually more likely to say both than the Democrats were.
Mm-hmm.
And then independents were the most likely to say both, which, again, is not surprising because they're right stuck in the middle of it.
Well, so why do you suppose more people are pointing the finger at the right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, you know, we saw that last time. If we look back at the Clinton administration when there was the shutdown in November, that also went more toward the Republicans in Congress, and particularly Newt Gingrich, who was the speaker at that point. And I think they perceive that as saying, you know, the health care law has already been passed. It's already gone through the Supreme Court, and there was already an election after it was passed, where those would be the times. And even people that you know, oppose the health care bill are still saying it should be kept separate. And so that's why I think there is more blame going toward the Republicans than the Democrats at
mm-hmm.
this point.
Why do you suppose Democrats are being blamed for the shutdown?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of that it comes certainly from the Republicans, and that is 68% of Republicans are the ones that are blaming the Democrats. But strangely, 7% of Democrats actually blame the president and the Democrats. And so I think there's that issue that we saw in the most important problem for the nation of that feeling that nobody's compromising. And
mm-hmm.
and we definitely see in the national polls and all over the place that people want both parties to compromise, and people don't really want one party government. They want to have this divided government, and they want them to work together and negotiate. And I think a lot of people are arguing that, you know, there wasn't any room to negotiate, and that hits both parties.
Wendy, do you think we say we want compromise, but what we really want is the other side to cave to our liking?
You know, I think that's true of strong partisans,
mm-hmm.
but I think, you know, for the people who are or perhaps watching what's going on but not sort of deeply engaged in the substance of what's going on, I think that they actually do want to see a compromise. That, you know, we talked about the independents being very moderate, and I think, like, we had the caller in just a few minutes ago who was, you know, I would vote for a Democrat if they had a more moderate Democrat. And I think that that's a sentiment that's out there, is that I think those folks who are moderate and are really in the middle of the political spectrum want to see compromise. But I would agree that the partisans more want to see the other side just cave.
Yeah. Well, we talked a little bit about the job performance ratings yesterday, but let's delve a little deeper into them, since they're so related to this subject. In those ratings, the Tea Party actually pulled a little bit better than congressional Republicans, the Republicans who favor Tea Party policies. Mm-hmm. But what did you make of that?
Yeah, so we had 32% approved of Republicans in the Congress, and then we had 33% say that the Republicans in Congress who favor Tea Party policies. One of the things about that is of course, the Tea Party is much more polarized. So if we look at the strongly disapproves, they're much higher for the Tea Party adherents in the Republican Party than they are for just the Republicans themselves. And so that's definitely true. And sort of what we're seeing across the country, too, is that there's definitely a constituency for the Tea Party Republicans and the policies that they're advocating. And so, you know, this can even have implications for the next election, because we know that some of the people that are being talked about, whether it's Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio or Rand Paul, of course, all voted against these bills, and they're the ones that are being talked about. And we've seen all over the country in different races for the Congress of, you know, this divide within the Republican Party between those that are sort of the more moderate or traditional and then those that are sort of more adherence to the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I did want to talk about that, because we saw this in Wisconsin with all Republicans in our congressional delegation except one voted to continue the government shutdown and possibly go into default by not raising the debt ceiling. Reed Ribble, U.S. representative from the 8th Congressional District, your area, northeastern Wisconsin, is the only Republican who voted yes to the deal that reopened government and averted default. He's taking some heat. He was talked to by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel defending it and saying that his constituents wanted him to do this. So talk a little bit about why Republicans would vote to continue the shutdown by not, you know, voting no on this deal if they're being blamed the most.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what's interesting, is that, you know, all the national polls and then, you know, our poll really strongly said that, you know, they disapprove of connecting the shutdown and the debt ceiling discussions with the Affordable Care Act funding. 84% think that it should not be connected to the shutdown. And then, you know, same with the debt ceiling issue, is about 74% of saying these should really be separate and not connected. That's all over the country. Every poll asked in various different ways are all coming out with the same answer, that they disapprove of this. And yet they're still continuing to, you know, sort of defy what the majority of the Americans are. But as we've seen in our own poll, that there are some very strong adherents that really agree with that. It's just not the majority of people in the United States. So, I mean, they're definitely feeling like they're appealing to a certain constituency. It's not that surprising that Reed Ribble here in the 8th Congressional District would be trying to look at what his constituents want, because we are a swing district, that we have gone back and forth with electing Democrats and Republicans from this area, as well as in our vote for president from this area as well. And so he really has a split constituency up here, and which is why, you know, I think he voted the way he did, but then also felt like he needed to spend quite a bit of time defending his vote choice, because he was, as you say, the kind of the lone Republican that didn't vote. I'm a little bit surprised by Petri, because he tends to be more moderate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting that, that he even felt that he needed to stick with the Republican Party, at least that not the Republican Party, but the sort of the Tea Party wing of the.
Yeah. So are Republicans like Congressman Tom Petri considered moderate? And Congressman Sean Duffy is, I believe, considered somebody who had certainly Tea Party backing, and he was very outspoken. During this whole shutdown, they both voted no to the deal to reopen government. Are they afraid of a Tea Party challenge if they would have voted yes or what?
Yeah, I think again, if we look at some of these congressional races around the country, where we're really seeing the Republican Party be divided between the Tea Party constituents and the more moderate wing. And in a lot of cases, let's take Senator Lugar, for example, a longtime senator, fairly moderate, known on both sides of the aisle, just hugely respected for his foreign policy. And frankly, I think we have him to thank that we haven't had a dirty bomb attack in the U.S. because he was right on the front of the fall of the Soviet Union and locking down those nuclear materials. So, just very, very well respected and, lost the primary in his own state after, years and years of service. And I think that, that's indicative. We've seen that in a number of different cases where you've got either the incumbents just saying, I'm retiring, it's not the Congress that I'm used to. And then, some of them, Tea Party adherents in the party winning those primaries.
Yeah. So given what we know about how Wisconsinites feel about Congress, should we expect to see some pretty serious challengers rise up over the next few months for these congressional seats?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. What we found when we asked about our support for your own member, of course, it's much higher than the approval rating for Congress as a whole, which was dismally low. But relative to what we usually see, actually much higher approval ratings for people's own member of Congress. And, there's been some of the national polls have been asking about, as you mentioned earlier, of should we, reelect them, depending on what their vote was here. One thing I would say is that we're still pretty far out from the midterm elections. And what Gallup found after the Clinton shutdown time period was that the effects on the polls were pretty short-lived. So the shutdown was in November of 1995, but by March 1996, they had the polls for both Republicans and Democrats had really recovered by then. So they've been arguing that, just based on what happened at that point, they don't think that that's going to be a long-term effect. And certainly when we poll in the spring, it'll be very interesting to see if we find that same trend. Yeah. In this era.
And there, of course, are some more deadlines coming up in January and February, but we'll talk a little bit more about that and whether the government might shut down again or what in our next half hour, a little bit more on that. Right now we're wondering whether or not you would vote for your congressional representative next year, or are you ready to vote your congressional representative out? And which side do you think is mostly to blame for the government shutdown and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are discussing the results of the latest Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey with Wendy Scattergood, who is an assistant professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere and an associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 22 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, October 24th. We're discussing the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center results on who we blame for the partial federal government shutdown. According to our survey, 42% of us blame congressional Republicans. 34% say congressional Democrats and President Obama are at fault. What do you say? And what does this mean for the future? Charlie in Milwaukee is with us first. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. I blame President Obama because I feel that he has not been able to lead us during these hard economic times and able to offer us solid, hard solutions to our current situation. I also blame him because, as someone who believes in government, he doesn't hold people like Lois Lerner responsible for what they've done. You now have people in government taking the fifth. And on top of that, he also has shown a disregard for enforcing some of the laws. So how can people in Congress trust him to enforce the laws or compromises that could be done when he sits there and disregards them, as he did with the DREAM Act?
All right, Charlie, got way. Charlie does not like a lot of things President Obama has done on a number of different issues and therefore says he is not leading. Wendy, what about that? I mean, he's getting some blame in our survey, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. 34% said that they blame the president, Democrats in Congress, more so than the Republicans. But, you know, I would be curious to see if the caller also thinks, Charlie thinks, that the Affordable Care Act funding should be included or should not be included with that. So this is sort of the shutdown.
Right, right. Yeah, and he, unfortunately, he did drop off immediately when I jumped in, so we can't go back to him. But maybe Mark in La Crosse has something to say about that. Hello, Mark.
Hello. Say, my question was, have they ever done a poll to ask different individuals whether or not they think it's right that they're giving year delays to corporations and large unions, but yet they're not willing to delay the rollout of this passage of this bill because that just seems to be inconsistent with, you know, you can't cherry pick. It was part of the law that it was going to be everybody. And they're having such issues with the launching of it in the first place. And I might add, when he was a senator, he voted against the raising of the debt ceiling when he was a senator. So he's kind of hypocritical, I believe.
Mark, what about the question? Do you think that at first it was defunding the Affordable Care Act and then it was delaying the individual mandate? Do you think that should have been linked to whether the government stayed open or, for that matter, the debt ceiling raised?
Well, I think in some respects it really was passed with no bipartisan. They basically ran a bunch of moderates and then made them vote the party line to get the thing through, and now they're accusing the Republicans of being the rigid one. I think Harry Reid has been the one all along. I think it should be tied to it because it's turning out that it's way above what they said it was going to cost. And I actually believe that it's dragged down the economy more than anything. You have young people, including one of my sons that graduated from college, can't find a job because a lot of the businesses, because of this mandate, are not hiring. You can't find full-time work. Yeah. So I think the impact of this thing has been very detrimental to everybody concerned.
Wendy?
Yeah, there certainly is that sentiment in what we're finding in the polls and those that argue that, you know, that they feel like they should have stuck to their principles. We're seeing some of the folks, so for example, those that strongly agree with the Tea Party, for example, say that it should be included, 52%. Although what's interesting to me is that there still are, for example, among the people who are strongly opposed to the Affordable Care Act itself, still think that it should, the issue should be separate. But, you know, sort of 38%. So, you know, the caller is definitely in company here of saying that it should and that they should stick to their principles.
But I'm sorry, a lot of numbers. Most of the people in our poll said don't connect the Affordable Care Act to the government shutdown.
Right, 84%. Yeah. And even those that strongly oppose the Affordable Care Act, mm-hmm. so that would have reason to say, you know, link them together. But the majority of those who strongly oppose the Affordable Care Act actually think they should be separated.
Yeah. Did our caller first asked, and we did not ask this question. We did ask, do you support the individual mandate? And we got a majority did support the individual mandate for health care, right?
Yes.
Meaning that we have to buy insurance. But he said, has there been any polling to find out if we think the individual mandate should be delayed if some businesses have a longer time now to set up getting health insurance to their employees?
I I haven't seen anything. The group that's doing most of the polling on this, the detailed polling on it, I should say, because everybody's asking general questions, but is the Kaiser Family Foundation. They've been really tracking this debate since it started. And I haven't seen any of their detailed questions asking that particular one.
Yeah.
But that would be the place to go if anybody's interested in trying to find that.
Mary in West Bend. Hello, Mary.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My point is that there was a popular election that the President Obama was elected with the popular election, and one of his biggest platforms was the Health Care Act. And what frustrates me is that the Republicans then held, I do believe, the government hostage because they did not like the outcome of the election. And I think the power that they have to do that is quite scary. When our public decided that we did agree with the health care law because we did elect President Obama as our president.
And that's a common sentiment, Wendy?
Yeah, it certainly is. And that's something that we're seeing both in a lot of op-ed pieces, but also in, you know, sort of the people that were talking about government dissatisfaction. And it is a little bit unique about this situation. Obviously, we've had shutdowns before. We've had, you know, holdups in particularly from the Senate because obviously they have the filibuster power, which has been used, you know, for many, many years going way back in our history for the minority party to be able to sort of hold up things going on. But it's a little bit unique that, you know, both the partial shutdown and the debt ceiling issue of holding that to try to get rid of something. Like in the Clinton administration, Gingrich and the Republicans in the House and Senate were trying to get a balanced budget bill passed to try to get something done rather than to get rid of something, and particularly something that's already been upheld by the Supreme Court as well. And as the caller said, there's been another election. So that's what makes this circumstance a little bit unique from some of the other historical battles between Democrats and Republicans.
Well, that's going to do it for now. We have less than 30 seconds. So, Wendy, was there anything that you're taking away from this year's survey or this fall survey?
Well, I think when we look at sort of the Tea Party support is very, very polarizing. And I think that is still going to continue to play out in the next election, even if the specifics about the shutdown and the debt ceiling have more limited time impacts on approval rating.
We'll talk more about that coming up in our next half hour with another guest. Thank you so much, Wendy, for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Wendy Scattergood is with St. Norbert College in De Pere. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.